In seeking the Lord about these services, I have settled down in the book of Acts. I want you to turn with me tonight to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. In Acts 9, 10, and 11, there is a great chain of events that brought enlargement to the church in this world. Now, Simon Peter had been among those who had not left Jerusalem. You remember the Great Commission was, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth." However, God had to send persecution in chapter 7 and 8. To get some of the disciples out of Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? It was God's purpose for them to go beyond Jerusalem. And yet he must employ persecution. The fires of persecution to blow them out of their comfort zone. So when we come to these verses in chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus has just had his conversion. I want to begin in verse number 31 tonight. And we see now a notable advancement in the history of the church. I'm going to read these verses and then make a few comments tonight. Acts 9:31. "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria," that is, after the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. "And they were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda." This is about a day's journey west of Jerusalem. Simon Peter is getting out of Jerusalem. There's some enlargement. There's some advancement. "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon," actually it's spelled with an H as well, "Sharon, they saw him," that is, this one who had been raised up, "and they turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good work and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him unto the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. That's reading verses 31 through 43 of this last portion of Acts chapter 9. Now, the church has had several spiritual leaders up until this hour. Back in chapter 2, Simon Peter preached, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And God gave a mighty harvest. In Acts chapter 3, John seems to step up into the picture. In chapters 4 and 5, Simon Peter once again seems to take the lead. Chapter 6 and 7, a deacon was filled with the Holy Ghost by the name of Stephen, and God used him mightily. In chapter 8, the anointing of the Spirit was upon Philip, another deacon. God used him mightily, became an evangelist in the early church. Of course, in chapter 9, we have the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who would become Paul the Apostle. Briefly, we see him leading in his spiritual, in his early days, in his spiritual experience. Then he goes to the desert to be taught of God. It's interesting to me that a man of his power and a man of his position, God did not rush him to the head of things, but he sent him into the desert for 3 years of training. I think all of us need to be trained in one way or another before we take the helm, before we take the lead. Of course, when we come to these verses, Simon Peter has decided to get out of Jerusalem, and he goes out somewhat west of Jerusalem to these cities. We see him first in Lydda, then in Sharon, which is nearby, and then to Joppa. And we see the hand of God upon him in these other cities. Now, my thoughts about these chapters, 9, 10, and 11, has to do with enlargement, or if you prefer, advancement. I'm convinced that the purpose of God is to take us forward. Is it not true that He has foreordained that we be made and fashioned into the likeness of Christ? That's a progressive movement, isn't it? That's a forward advancement. And here God begins to give enlargement to the church, advancement to the church. I do not know all God's intentions are for me to say some things about these chapters in these days. It could be the message is to my heart. Maybe God has some advancement and enlargement programs for my own life. Perhaps the applications are for your lives. Maybe even a wider application to this church, even to the churches in which I preach. It may have a spiritual implication. Simon Peter, in his last words, course, we never dreamed he would write anything, did we? But the Holy Ghost filled him and moved upon him, and he wrote 1 Peter, and then he wrote the second epistle of Simon Peter. And the last word in 2 Peter is this word, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a call to enlargement, a call to advancement, a call to progress, a call to growth. Tonight, for a few minutes, I'd like to use these verses in chapter 9. I want to talk to you about enlargement beyond our territories. Enlargement beyond our territories. Now, we all have our little zone. We might call it our safety zone. We might call it our Jerusalem. But we all have our territory. Your territory is not my territory, and my territory is not your territory. However, God is at work in all of our lives. It is God which worketh in us, Paul wrote to the saints at Philippi, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Glory be to God. God is at work in our lives. There are times that his work seems to be like an underground stream. We cannot perceive it. For a little space, we cannot behold it. Then it erupts again, and we see God is still at work. Now, I'd like to take these verses, about 10 or 11 verses here, and I want to talk to you about enlargement beyond our territories. I want to mention these three thoughts. We're going to look at first steps beyond our territories. Then we're going to go to Lydda or Sharon, and we're going to see what I'm calling further steps beyond our territories. And then we'll go to Joppa, where we will see forward steps beyond our territory. I must say this before we get to it. You remember what happened when Simon Peter was at Joppa? God gave him a dream, or gave him a vision. And there were two men that came to him from Caesarea. They were employed by Cornelius, a Gentile. And it was at Joppa that God took Simon Peter forward beyond his imagination, beyond his wildest dreams. Now, the first steps are mentioned in verses 31 through 35. The churches in Judea, Galilee, Samaria, they are now comforted because this enemy, Saul of Tarsus, has been gloriously converted. Every time I think of Saul of Tarsus' conversion, I feel like saying, don't give up on your loved ones. Don't give up on your friends. Don't give up on your enemies, your relatives, your neighbors, those with whom you work. If God was pleased to save Saul of Tarsus, he may be pleased to save some of them. And so God had saved Saul, and the churches where they had rest and comfort. They were blessed because this chief persecutor had been converted. But in verse 32, with all this rest among the churches, Peter felt moved to leave and go down to Lydda. It was at Lydda that he found out that this man had been in his bed sick of the palsy for 8 years. Peter told him, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. God can heal people outside Jerusalem. God can show his mighty power down at Lydda. Yes, there was a man that was gloriously healed, and he went into the temple in Jerusalem leaping and praising God. Now Simon Peter goes to Lydda, and he sees a miraculous healing here. It's just first steps beyond Jerusalem. But oh, did God show himself mighty. And he arose immediately. There was no voting on it. That was a transfer of God's divine power. And Annas was miraculously healed. And it was of such nature that all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. God not only brought about the miraculous at Lydda, and the man was immediately healed, but the message of God's power and grace went out, and many people turned to the Lord. These are the first steps beyond Jerusalem. Now, I don't know what God might communicate to our hearts tonight, but are you willing to take the first steps in God's enlargement program? Are you willing to get beyond your little safety zone? Are you willing to go forward, even to Lydda and Sharon, and trust God to work there? I must give a little step that I've made. It was not my going after it, but it came after me. A young college student who is a Bible student in another state is at home for the summer. He wanted to take some online courses in summer school, and he was too late to sign up. So he called me and asked if I would teach him the Bible this summer. And I told him, I said, well, the only night that I could do it would be Thursday or maybe Saturday. So 2 weeks ago, I planned to teach in my study for an hour to that young man. And as God would have it, his boss made him work late and he couldn't even come. But God used his interest as a catalyst for me to call several people. And so I had a handful of students in my own study. You talk about getting out of Jerusalem. I have never thought of such. I've never entertained such. And then all of a sudden it happens. It's interesting as well. He sent me a note yesterday and said he'd not be able to come this Thursday either, for his family is vacationing. But some have called and texted and said they would be there tomorrow night. I'm telling you, God has helped me take some first steps out of my little safety zone. And he is able to do that for you in some way. I've been saying this. I don't know if it's just for me or others. But I believe that the same God who works in a pulpit can work in a grease pit. He can work wherever you are and advance you in his kingdom purpose. Come with me now to verse 36. Here we have what I'm calling further steps beyond our territories. There were some first steps. Now we have some further steps. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. You ever notice often a name in the Bible has another name? I have a friend who called I call Paulus, and he calls me Thomas, who is Didymus. You remember Thomas had that other name, Didymus. And here, this woman was known by Tabitha, which meant Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Now, we may not have expected Simon Peter to ever leave Jerusalem. Even Stephen left Jerusalem. Philip left Jerusalem. And others, when the persecution became heavy, left Jerusalem. And Simon Peter hung on. He was the leader in the church. But now God allows the church to have rest due to Saul's conversion. And Peter said, I believe I'm going to spread out a little bit. His first steps took him down to Lydda, where Annas was gloriously raised up. Others came to Christ because of this miracle. Now, at the request of disciples, Simon Peter goes as far as Joppa. Now, it's interesting that this enlargement was at the bidding of others. Sometimes we think God is going to swoop down out of heaven and show us our next step. But he may use another disciple. He may use some other heart in his service. And wise is the individual who listened to God through others. So Peter, hearing that they wanted him to come, he came. They brought him into the upper chamber. He had not planned to go to Joppa. He had not planned to go to the upper chamber of death. All the widows were weeping and showing what coats and garments Dorcas had made while she was living. And Peter put them all forth. Sounds like he remembered how Jesus operated. Jesus had them get out of the room when he raised the little girl from the dead. Simon Peter gets them out. He kneeled down and prayed. By the way, prayer is not in vain in the most difficult circumstance. And turning unto the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He had not planned to go to Joppa. He had not planned to go to this upper room of mourning, death and mourning. He had not planned to see God raise one from the dead. But God is helping him make further steps away from Jerusalem, from his little territory. Verse 41, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Now the Holy Spirit is not pleased to tell us what happened at this point. But forgive me for my imagination running wild. They had been weeping. They showed Simon Peter the garments, the coats that she had made. They never dreamed that she would live again. And now Simon Peter is presenting Dorcas alive back to these dear women. He called the saints and the widows and presented her alive. Now let me make a couple of statements before I look at those last couple of verses in this second division. He had not planned all that happened, but that does not mean that it wasn't going to happen, because God had planned it. Somebody said, well, I don't think they would. Listen, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Somebody said, well, I feel like I'm at a crossroads. I don't know what to do. Listen, God is able to take you further. God is able to put things together. God is able to work all things after the counsel of His own will. And there will be blessings that you never dreamed of, blessings that you could have never known otherwise, as God brings you into these further steps beyond your territories. Oh my. I must speak of my own journey. Some 6 years ago, I was so desperate and hopeless. And when it looked like all doors would close, God gave me a verse. He said, there are other sheep that I have that are not of this fold. Now, I know that was given to early believers, but I felt it was a word from God to my heart. And He has connected me to people that I would have never otherwise been associated with. God has opened doors that I would have never been able to walk through. But God's purpose is bigger than our plan. Are you listening to me? There were first steps beyond Simon Peter's territory. There were further steps. And you might notice, He not only presented her alive to the widows and the saints, but verse 42 says, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. First steps of enlargement. Further steps of enlargement. I can't help but wonder what was going on in Simon Peter's mind. He was a bigoted Jew that thought only God could work among Jews. And now he's getting ready to hear a call that will open the door to the Gentiles. Cornelius will be converted. Brings me to a third and final emphasis tonight in verse 43. Yes, 43. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. Now, let me say firstly, there's a forward movement in Simon Peter's life that caused him to stay in Joppa for many days. How many of you are ready to come home after a few days of vacation? Huh? Oh, man. I think our vehicle was moving towards North Carolina before I ever got in it. Forgive my imagination. But I was ready to come home. And how many times have I been in meetings? Kathy and I were in Texas for four meetings over a little more than 3 weeks. Back in June Oh, brother, were we glad, although we had wonderful meetings and had people saved, and God was pleased to bless us and help us. We were both ready to come back to the hills from which cometh our help. And Kathy was so homesick. I told her, I said, I thought it was me that you got homesick for. No, she was ready to come home. In fact, so ready. This was dumb of me. I know it was dumb of me because it took me a week to get over it. But so homesick was she that when we closed out that meeting on Wednesday night in Texas, she said, what do you think about us driving a long way tonight? I said, I'm not too much in favor of it. I just preached. I'm wore out. She said, I'll drive. You sit over there. So we loaded the van and we headed out. We got to Shreveport and I said to her, Kathy, I've got to lie down. I'm not lying down in the floor of the van or the back seat. She said, well, where do you want me to stop? I said, well, good night. You've already gone to Shreveport. I have no idea. I doubt there'll be a room. We stopped at three different motels. There was no room. She said, I think we ought to just go on home. I said, no. We're going to find a motel. So we drove another 30 miles and found a motel. But she was up at 6 o'clock, hardly getting any sleep, shaking me and saying, we need to get on the road. I said, for heaven's sake, we need at least an Egg McMuffin. She was ready to come home. It took me almost the rest of the week to get over that trip. Some of you have done things that foolish as well. You're ready to go forward. You're ready to go home. You know Simon Peter had inclinations to go back to Jerusalem, to go home. But somehow, in God's providence, he felt the force and the coercion to stay in Joppa. No doubt he ministered during the day. That was the miracle. The first miracle that involved his forward steps is he stayed many days in Joppa. The second miracle is that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Now in the Jewish society, there are records of divorces over someone working for a tanner. The hides and all the oils sometimes are so rank and difficult to put up with that some women have left their husbands who worked for tanners. But Simon Peter, though it stank here in Joppa, where Simon was a tanner, he stayed with him many days. Now, you don't have to agree with this. It won't bother me. But my thoughts are, God is getting him to a point of accepting someone like this tanner because he's going to Caesarea and he's going to even accept some Gentile dogs. Those who were unlike the Jews in every area. First steps taking us beyond our territories. Further steps taking us beyond our territories. Forward steps taking us beyond our territories. I'm not going to get into chapter 10, but as I briefly mentioned earlier, it was here at the tanner's house that Simon went up on the roof. And while he was there praying, he fell into a trance and he had a vision that some were coming from Caesarea to call for him. And they were, of course, servants of Cornelius. God was opening the big door for the salvation of Gentiles. The uttermost part had a little opening here at Cornelius' house. Enlargement beyond our territories. First steps of enlargement. Further steps of enlargement. Forward steps of enlargement. Who knows what God has in mind for each of us, our individual lives? Who knows what God has in store for you as a church body? Who knows what God has in mind for my life, for the ministry to which He's called me? Who knows what God has in mind for the churches who have been gracious to invite me in to preach to them, to teach to them? I want to say, beloved, God is able to make a notable advancement in territories that we never dreamed were possible. May somehow we be open. May we be prayerful. May we be available. May we be willing to follow the path that God would lead us in. Often I refer in my own thinking to that little verse in Genesis 21. No, it's 24, excuse me. Where Abraham sent his servant to get a bride for Isaac. You remember what that servant said when he came to the home country of Abraham? And God had made connections. He said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Can I give you the Hayes translation? Being available, God led me. Being willing, God led me. One of my favorite songs, I've asked my wife to have it sung at my funeral, says, all the way the Savior led me. Jesus led me all the way. May our hearts be open to what He has in mind. A time of enlargement. Our Father, accept our gratitude for this precious time together. We see how You made connections and how You broke connections in carrying out Your purpose. Lord, we'd like to be a part of what You're doing. We ask that we might be willing and open to whatever Thou wouldst say and all that Thou wouldst do. Maybe not even speak the word to us, but send a word to someone else for us. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Hold o'er our beings absolute sway. In Jesus' blood-stained name we pray. Amen.